Network News.
Where we give you a new perspective
on events happening in our world today.
This is GNN.
This is God Network News, episode 59. Welcome, GNN fans, to another episode of God Network News, the podcast that tells you what God's doing around the world, not what CNN tells you, but what GNN tells you is going on in the world. If you're tired of listening to all of that crisis network news and you want to hear what God's doing, well, give us a listen.
This podcast is proudly listed at podcastpickle.com.
Greetings once again, God Network News fans. We have another fantastic interview and testimony with a very wonderful man named Rick Love. And he is named correctly because he has a lot of love in his heart, and especially for Muslims. As you know, many of us have been suffering around the world at the hands of radical Islamists and terrible things happening around the world. And in the midst of that, we would be tempted as God's children to hatred, resentment, and bitterness. But Jesus tells us to love instead. And so here is Rick Love with this testimony.
I was in a mosque recently with a group of Christians at a Love Your Neighbor dinner. And the pastor spoke about love your neighbor from Christian perspective, the imam about love your neighbor from a Muslim perspective, and we had a time of Q&A. And a Christian raised his hand and said to the imam, "What can we do to work towards peace?" And the imam paused, looked out at the crowd, and he said, "Follow the gospel. Obey the gospel. That's the best thing you can do." And Calvin, that's kind of transformed my mind. Certainly I knew that. But here's what I've experienced with Christians and Muslims and their kind of interaction. There's so much fear, as you know, with terrorism and these kind of issues. But Islam and terrorism must be radically differentiated. The majority of Muslims are not terrorists, as you know. But what's significant, I heard Joseph Cumming of Yale University say this once. He said, you know, we will differ on our understanding of Islam, because it's so diverse. We're going to differ on understanding of Islam, but we can agree on what Jesus taught and how we're to respond to Muslims. So it's very clear. So because of this, we want to ignite a revolution among Christians, and we're calling it the Radical Love Campaign. It's part of a Grace and Truth movement. You know, Muslim-Christian relations have been characterized for centuries by violence, fear, and distance, which is actually the very opposite of the way Jesus taught us to live. But our Lord said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is here, repent and believe the good news." And his kingdom is not brought about by the sword, but by submission to the Prince of Peace. And so we want to facilitate a peace movement, a change in the hearts of churches everywhere. So we are challenging churches everywhere to join the Radical Love Campaign. We're looking for 1 million followers of Jesus to join us in this pledge. And here's the pledge, Calvin. I will repent of hateful feelings and pursue love. I will pray for Muslims that God will bless them and that they will experience His peace. I will respectfully share the good news of God's kingdom. I will develop a friendship with at least one Muslim. I will do one act of kindness for a Muslim family in this year. I affirm the principles of grace and truth. I will not spread negative stereotypes about Islam, but will season all my words with grace. I will champion this cause, armed only with love, truth, and good deeds. So, Calvin, what we're trying to do is to mobilize, to catalyze 1 million people in the world to make a few practical steps. To many people, this is not radical love, but for the average Christian around the world who struggles with terrorism, fear of Muslims, ignorance, etc., this would be a campaign that is radical, and it is a campaign of love. So we're very excited about this. One of the things it says here, we want people to affirm the principles of grace and truth. Now, the grace and truth, we call this the grace and truth movement. It was birthed out of an international gathering in Africa a number of years ago. And it basically, we came up with 9 affirmations. I don't need to read them all now, but again, it goes back to the principle. We can differ on our view of Islam, but it's clear what Jesus taught. And so we're challenging people in the grace and truth document to, for example, to be Jesus-centered in our interaction. We want to be respectful and bold in our witness, peaceable and uncompromising in dialogue, but loving toward all, whether it's neighbors or even enemies. And I think it's clear, actually, that Muslims are not our enemies. And I think it's significant, though, that we're to love even our enemies.
You mentioned once when you were describing this new movement that integrity in our witness was really, really vital. And that really hit me. That really struck me. I wonder if you could share a little bit more about that and how that fits in with this whole new love movement.
Mm. Well, I think Christians all over the world either fear Muslims or those that are engaged with Muslims act as if they're on this covert mission and they have to be undercover for Jesus. And I just reject that. I praise God for anyone who wants to love Muslims and witness to Muslims. But I feel God is calling his people to greater integrity, authenticity, no covert mission, and no hatred, fear, and pulling back from Muslims, but engaging them in modeling radical love of Jesus.
That's great.
Christians or anyone who has a relationship of fear tends to dehumanize the people they fear or the people they dislike or the people they're ignorant of. And so Christians have dehumanized, have demonized. We make all Muslims into terrorists, and therefore we hate them or we're fearful of them. And that has been Satan's great scheme in any time in history, whether it's against the Jews, blacks in America, Native Americans, you know, from around the world. Whenever there's been racial conflict or religious conflict, it's because we dehumanize and demonize the other, caricatures and these kind of things. And so a key part of the Radical Love campaign is to get people to make concrete little steps. I will develop a friendship with at least one Muslim. See, I think immediately organizationally, one of the things we do, we have, it's called a peace feast. We organize it so a group of people, and it's not just Christian, whoever would like to come, we invite them to a Muslim restaurant, a Muslim-owned restaurant. We work it out with the owner. We say, we're going to come in on Tuesday night. We call this a peace feast, and these are people maybe that are fearful of Muslims. So you come in and you eat Muslim food, which most people love, Middle Eastern food especially. And we also done it in a Pakistani restaurant, so Pakistani/Indian food, they love that. So the point is, a peace feast, it's a little step, but we bring people in, they eat the food, then the owner often speaks a little bit, we ask them some cultural questions, and then the leader from Peace Catalyst International, usually Jim Mullins, our vice president, will stand up, and he has a topic. Like, we went to one restaurant that was owned by an Egyptian, and so when the Egyptian Revolution took place, we talked about Egypt, the revolution, and used that as a bridge. When we went to the Pakistani restaurant, we had a little quiz on Pakistan, how many people, and just to inform people of the country, and to meet the owner and some of the workers there. So it's a very small step. People love it. And of course, because we go to these restaurants ahead of time, we want those restaurants to prosper. You know, Jeremiah 29:7 says, seek the peace of the city where I've sent you. And so we see it, our role in Peace Catalyst International, seeking the peace of the city, trying to bless these restaurants, get people involved. So it's a wonderful, it is a peace feast. So that's one practical way. Another thing we do is what we call Love Your Neighbor Dinner, as I illustrated from the beginning of our conversation here. We get a church and a mosque together, and they discuss the theme of what is love your neighbor from a Christian perspective and a Muslim perspective. Then we have a meal together. Of course, the key is the meal, breaking bread, getting to know each other. And when we've done those things, the first time we did a Love Your Neighbor dinner, our pastor was speaking about love your neighbor, of course, from a Christian perspective. And when he said, and we have not loved you, we have not been good neighbors to you, will you forgive us? He said that at the mosque. You could hear a pin drop. That just like the spirit just of peace came in, and then Muslims are so open. And later, the pastor's wife said this was an absolute watershed event for us. They'd never really met Muslims, and in this context, they could hear, they watched them pray. So those are just two of the things that we do. We have this peace feast and then love your neighbor dinner. We do another thing called quick to listen. And if you can get like 8 to 10 people who are committed to obey what the scripture says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And then you go in and you're able to ask any questions you want, both sides, the Christians can, the Muslims. And so the leader, our guy will go to the mosque ahead of time and talk to the imam and group and say, we both want freedom to ask these kind of questions, but we do it respectfully, quick to listen. We want to carefully listen and be respectful. So that is another smaller way, like a small group in a church could go to a mosque or the mosque, they could meet somewhere, have their own peace feast.
Something that I recently heard about on the news, I think it was on Fox News, they did a whole interview of a church in the United States who had actually opened their church building for some Muslims to have a place to pray, to yes. come and pray. And I guess myself, I was so surprised at the somewhat negative feelings that people were expressing about, oh, how terrible that is. You're opening the sacred God's house to these you know, pagans or whatever, you know. And I thought, wow, what a great thing and what a great way to connect and to be able to share God's word. They're coming into God, you know, into God's house there, and, you know, there's Bibles all around and all this kind of stuff. You know, what a great opportunity. So I think those kind of things are really cool and should be done more, really.
It's too bad, I think, especially in the U.S., in the last 20 to 30 years, there's been such a change in our, through immigration, demographic change. And so all of a sudden, we do have Muslim neighbors and Hindu neighbors and different ethnic groups. And while the U.S., at least in the U.S., the Constitution says that we're all created equal, and, yeah. and it kind of sets the stage for freedom of religion in a pluralistic society. Affirming diversity, freedom of religion for all, but it's a lot easier to have that in theory than to live it out. And so I find a lot of Americans don't know how to be good neighbors. Mm. And that's really Christianity 101. Mm. And that's why the Radical Love campaign is so significant. I was thinking the other day in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, it has Jesus being asked questions, he's being tested. And what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus wisely says, well, how do you read the scriptures? And he says, love God, love neighbor. You know that. And then Jesus says, go do this and you will live. Well, most evangelicals say, wait a second, we really don't believe that. Wait, he just asked about eternal life and love God, love neighbor. That's not the gospel. Wait. And so we and it's okay. Certainly we want to run to Paul or run to other teachings in the gospel, amen to that. But Jesus did say that. So you might not like it, but we need to take it very seriously, that loving God and loving neighbor is the way of life. So it is Christianity 101, and we need to learn to love, to live with our neighbors and love our neighbors, letting them worship in our buildings or help them.
Yeah.
That is just the basics.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great. I really love this message. And I was talking to someone the other day who had listened to you speak, and I was saying, you know, since 9/11, and maybe before that, but certainly since 9/11, I haven't really heard anybody. I've heard a lot of messages coming out, you know, and a lot of strategies and a lot of, you know, how to deal with Muslims around the world in this net. But I haven't heard too many people saying, let's love these guys into the kingdom. And I think that should be our first strategy. Mm-hmm. Like you say, this is you know, Christianity 101.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think the devil really has no weapon against love. He really doesn't. I mean, God's love, you know, real love, coming in that opposite spirit, so to speak, is going to knock down a lot of barriers that the devil has even been trying to bring up between us. So I'm really excited about this campaign and excited about what you guys are doing. And so you're planning on having a website up for this that we'll be able to go to?
Well, basically, the campaign is going to consist of a number of practical things. We want to translate this call to action, some of those practical steps, into many different languages. We're going to have at least one promotional video, and then probably lots of little videos or YouTube selections showing different components of what it means to love. For example, there's little steps and principles, but we're hoping the promotional video can show very poignant acts of love by Christians maybe that have been persecuted or in different contexts. I heard a story of a woman in a Southeast Asian country who is a Christian surrounded by Muslims. Some Muslims were going to come and burn the church, and she stood in front of the church building. And she stood in front of the church building and said, "You will not burn this, or if you do, it'll be over my dead body." And her boldness, they backed away, and then others actually came in, other Muslims then, you know, the good Muslims came in and protected her. But it was a beautiful example. She was willing to lay down her life there. But what was significant is then her heart. She said, "I forgive them and I want to love them." So we want to have lots of stories of radical love. Some of these little steps are fine for people that don't know Muslims, but we want this to challenge people at all levels. So we will have many languages, a promotional video, many YouTubes. We will have a website. And our goal is to get the website up and have this thing translated and ready so that on September 11th, on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, we can formally begin the Radical Love Campaign. Mm. You know, this will ignite revolution of love, and that's what happens when you follow the one who is full of grace and truth.
This is the good news of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Send his son into this world to condemn it, but to save it. This truly is good news. was through what his son did that God cleared a path for everything to come to him. He has done this through the death on the cross of his own body. And now, as a result, Christ has brought you into the very presence of God. The only condition is that you fully believe the truth, standing in it steadfast and firm, strong in the Lord, convinced of the good news that Jesus died for you. This is the wonderful news that came to each of you and is now spreading all over the world. And always will be the good news.